Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God serving as the basis of today's message is the Gospel lesson just read. And we will ask the question, where is Jesus? Be seated. The prophet Isaiah writes, and he says, in the words of God, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Today's gospel reading teaches us about our thoughts and ways compared to the thoughts and ways of God. Now, when we first meet Mary in the Gospels, we learn with Gabriel's announcement that she will give birth to the Son of God. And she responded in humble faith, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." No questioning, no analyzing. God had given her a promise, and she believed it. Today's text, though, seems to be a test of that faith. After attending the Passover in Jerusalem, as their family did every year, Mary and Joseph begin their return trip to Nazareth, supposing that Jesus is among their relatives or friends. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. Now, I'm sure many of you parents, probably unwilling to admit it, but you can relate to the idea of leaving behind a child at some event. Now, Mary and Joseph had the same feelings, but it was someone else's child. Can you imagine the questions they must have asked themselves? Well, where should we look? Well, I thought he was with you. Well, where did we last see him? Why didn't he come back with us? He's always been so obedient. I wonder what got into that boy. Maybe he's in some kind of trouble. Oh no. When we brought him to the temple to be circumcised 12 years ago, the prophet Simeon told me that a sword would pierce my soul. I hope it hasn't come already. And so, Joseph and Mary begin their frantic search for Jesus. They look everywhere they can think of, but he's nowhere to be found. And they search for 3 days. Finally, on the third day, they find him in the temple. Now Mary, understandably distraught, starts to give him a lecture. "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. We were worried sick about you." Now, here she's appealing to the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And now, and Jesus' response seems almost rude. "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? Come on, Mom. You should know by now that I should be here, in my father's house." But we have to remember also that this boy Jesus is God. And so he's not being disrespectful to his mother, but he's teaching his mother, and he's teaching us a profound truth. Jesus is teaching us how we should understand the commandments. Jesus is teaching us that the commandments have an order for a reason. Now, the first table is about our relationship with God. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now, Jesus sums up this table later when he says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Jesus says that we are to love God above all things. God is to be loved above all. He comes first. Now, the second table of the law is about our relationship with one another. "Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And Jesus sums up this second table when he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so as we look at these two tables, we learn that we are to love God more than we love our neighbor. To truly follow the commandments, we must have things in the proper order. Love for God must come before our love for neighbor. And Luther reminds us of this in the Small Catechism when he begins the explanation for each commandment with the words, we should fear and love God so that. All the other commandments flow from this truth, fear and love of God, which is the first commandment. But the truth of the matter is, we often get things backwards. We put God's name and His word off to the side. We put the desires of others over God's word. We try to please others before we think of what might please God. Now, this seems pretty natural to us, but what's natural is wrong. Mary did what was natural. She looked for Jesus everywhere she could think of. But it wasn't until the third day of diligent searching that they thought to look for Jesus in the temple. So let's look at the context of this account a little bit. Mary and Joseph and Jesus were in Jerusalem for the Passover, the yearly commemoration of Israel's deliverance from slavery in Egypt. God had sent plague after plague to convince Pharaoh to let God's people go. But Pharaoh always refused. Finally, though, God sent a final plague. He was going to kill the firstborn son of every family in Egypt. And the only way to be saved was for the Israelites to eat a lamb and paint its blood on their doorposts. When the angel of death saw the blood of the lamb, he would pass over and spare its inhabitants. Now ultimately, this feast points to the deliverance that is found in Christ. His blood would be shed upon the cross to cleanse us from all our sin. We received that very blood this morning. God has given you the blood of Jesus in this sacrament. Jesus has marked you with the sign of His blood. The angel of death spares you because you are marked with the blood of Jesus, your Savior. Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. Raised from the dead, He will never die again. Death has no more dominion over Him. Christ has been raised from the dead. But Jesus doesn't just teach us about the law. Jesus fulfills the law in our place. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And so every year, according to the law, Jesus and His earthly parents made the trip to Jerusalem for the Passover. When we look at the text, we seem to find it odd that Luke skips from Jesus at the temple as an infant all the way up to when he's 12 years old. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd kind of like to have some of those details about what he was like as a child. I think those would be some pretty fun stories. But the truth of the matter is, we have all the information about Jesus that we need. Luke tells us that Jesus and His family went to Jerusalem for the Passover every year. So we do know what Jesus was up to. Even from His youth, Jesus was always about His Father's business. Last week, our gospel text told us how Jesus kept the law. And in this text, that's what He's doing. He's keeping the law for us. And so we should not be surprised that He is found in the temple about His Father's business. Mary and Joseph spent 3 days looking for Jesus in the wrong places. And the truth of the matter is that we also look for Jesus in the wrong places. We think we can find Him inside ourselves, or in some sort of feeling or experience. But the truth is that Jesus will only be found where he has put himself to be found. God's good and perfect will for us is that we look for Jesus where he has promised to be. We can't find him anywhere else. We don't make Jesus present by our actions. Instead, Jesus chooses where to locate himself. He has chosen to locate himself here, in this house. We sang about that in this morning's hymn. He has located himself in the water of baptism, the water that got you wet. He has located himself in the bread and wine, his body and blood that fed you this day. And so when we look at God's thoughts compared to our own thoughts, we find that the things of God are beyond reason. They don't make sense. Jesus is here in a little splash of water, in a little wafer, in a sip of wine. Yes, Jesus is here because he has chosen to be here and he has promised to be here. And Jesus said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" So why should we look anywhere else? Jesus is here for you, for your good. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God fill our hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.